moved out of Benfleet for obvious reasons, and we moved back towards the end of the war. We moved back into Benfleet.
So where did you go to when you moved out of Benfleet?
I spent a summer in Devon, Cornwall, Bude, and then the family moved to with two families, friends of my mother and father's friends. Both the husbands were in the forces, and the two wives and the families moved to a house in or just outside a medieval village in Buckinghamshire, and it was medieval.
Fair enough. Was it usual for families to move out of Benfleet?
Yes, many did. Paddy's didn't, but
well, we did for 6 months.
Yes,
my mother got
people moved out.
Longer in London.
We were the obvious. It was all the whole of the coastline had a 10-mile limit on it, where movement was restricted. And we were obviously, this area was obviously liable to an invasion. And at that time, of course, invasion was expected at any day in the beginning of the war. And people who had the opportunity or the ability, a lot of them moved out of the 10-mile region, which was really a military area. The schools, the junior schools and infant schools, weren't evacuated en masse, to my knowledge, but the grammar schools were evacuated en masse from the area.
This is early 1939.
39-40.
Did you come back before the war finished?
Yes, we came back. We came back at 44, I suppose. 43, 44.
You remember the Doolan boats coming up the river, don't you?
Yes, I was before. We came back occasionally for a weekend or something just to see the house was all right and everything. Right through the Blitz, and I came through London during the Blitz. Not when the Blitz was on, but we travelled through London from train to train.
So were you in Benfleet when Doodlebugs came over?
Yes, oh yes.
What were they like?
Fascinating.
We had a wonderful war, to be quite honest. That, of course, we were young teenagers then. And it was a life of excitement. Particularly the Doodlebugs, we would all find a high point in Benfleet, which wasn't very difficult, and wait for them and watch them. They would fly up the river generally, and all of Benfleet was AA guns. In fact, the ground I have now, King's Road, the gun emplacements are still there. And as the Doodlebug plodded its way up the Thames, it was fired at in stages. And in Benfleet, there was many, many AA guns. But there was also clear areas where there wasn't AA guns, where fighters, particularly to start it with Spitfires, which couldn't really catch the Doodlebugs up. And then the Typhoon was brought on, which would fly just a little bit faster than the Doodlebugs. And the pilots then had two options. They could either fire at it and shoot at it, where they had then had to fly through the debris when it exploded, or they would come up alongside it and put their wing under the wing of the Doodlebug and tilt it so it shot into the river. This was a great excitement to young teenagers. Before that, our big thing was collecting the aircraft coming back from London would abandon any bombs or anything they had where they could. And at night, they were quite often incendiary bombs. And they used to drop in great bundles, dozens of them in one plane load, in one area. And it was, we were up and looking for unexploded incendiary bombs, which were treasured because we could then take the magnesium out of them, put it in a bucket and catch it on fire, which surrounded the whole area, was then covered in white powder all round.
Did anyone get injured doing this?
No.
Peter Palfrey did, didn't he?
No, I don't think anybody, not to my knowledge, anyone. But we were experts at taking bullets to pieces to make the fireworks from the corner. Right? My wife's father was a bomb recognition officer, and he was a very upright gentleman, very much thought of in the special police and so on. And he was a policeman, and he used to collect, he was supposed to collect bombs, unexploded bombs. We always got there before Stan, and our piece de resistance was a landmine which was dropped by parachute, fell in the trees beyond the downs, and were caught up in the branches of the trees hanging by the parachute. And parachutes, of course, were material, it was silk type material, and it was highly desirable. So before Stan got there, about four of us was, we climbed the tree and cut the parachute adrift and cleared off, leaving the thing hanging in the tree. That was our young teenage.
Very exciting.
My grandmother.
So you had a good war.
I had a good war, yeah. We all did here. My grandmother lived up Underhill Road in a Polite shack, the back fence of which went onto the golf course, which had another use during the war, and a V2 rocket landed, it wasn't a very deep back garden, landed right on the fence. And my grandmother was in her 80s, a frail old lady, but very perky with it. And the crater almost came up to her back door on this Polite shack she lived in. And it was clay, wet clay, and it made a huge deep crater and threw great chunks of clay, which landed on all the local houses. And the damage was done by big balls, foot diameter balls of clay coming right through the roof. The dustman happened to be collecting the dust. We lived just around the corner on an unmade road. We'd obviously heard this, and everyone heard it. It was early in the morning. And so we rushed off to find out where it had dropped. We knew it was near. And as we went down this unmade road, looking, the dust cart was coming up the unmade road. And they didn't do that because they couldn't get up it. It was rutted and very difficult, but it was bumping up the unmade road. And sitting in it in a nightdress was my grandmother. And she had said to the dustman, to worried about her, and they got her out. And they said, could she do anything? And they said, could you take me to my daughter's? She only lives around the corner, 400 yards away, something like that probably. And so they did. And they took the dust cart up the unmade road to deliver my grandmother in her nightdress to her daughter. Now, this is the way we lived, and it was the way, it just, that was the way it was.
We were all right, but it was exciting.
Yeah. We had a good war.
I suppose there must have been some direct hits and people must have got
No, yeah, I don't think so.
Very much.
They were just the Bang and Bonds. A really tragic story, and this does bring tears to my eyes, and it still does, and it will now. There was a chap who sold newspapers at Benfleet Station. 14, 18 more, he'd lost a leg. He used to be called Hopperty. And one day during the war, he was selling his newspapers at Benfleet Station. And
from his shop?
Well, from the shop, but he was probably outside it. Anyway, he was selling his newspapers at Benfleet Station, as he had all the war, and a German aircraft, came down the railway line, as they used to do, not fairly regularly, but once in a while they would. And they would shoot up the stations or any trains on there. And they shot up Benfleet Station in passing, and they killed poor old Hoppy. And that is a tragic